Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Star Medicine Podcast, your source for astrology wisdom, divinatory practice, and deeper connection to your purpose. With your host, astrologer Jennifer Edwards.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the program. And I have finally arrived in our spaceship's cockpit of love. And it's been a while. It's been at least about a month. We've had a lot of astrological aspects occurring that have really tried its hardest to change our trajectory as we move towards eclipse season. As we are in full swing, we only have just under a week away before we experience our first eclipse of 2024. Prior to that, on the 19th, which is Tuesday, we will be experiencing our vernal equinox, which is our astrological new year. So if you did not feel like January 1st was the time to really set those intentions for a new year, you were right on board with the season's timetable, because this really is the time to make those goals for the upcoming astrological year. Prior to that, we had been experiencing some very important aspects since the planets all made their conjunctions to Pluto, the ego course corrector, Pluto, at 0 degrees Aquarius. What's interesting is that when Pluto moved through Capricorn from 2018 and will, you know, end its tenure there on November 19th of this year, as Pluto will retrograde back into the last degree of Capricorn, Pluto shows us the truth, okay? And Saturn is the ruler of Capricorn. Capricorn is about building structures from truth. Capricorn is about time. Capricorn is about karma. And karma, you know, has a negative connotation, but it really is just what you create is what you receive, and the unconscious intention behind that. And when Pluto was moving through there since 2008, we saw an upheaval on how the world works, so to speak. We kind of really started to understand, at least in the United States, how our, you know, how our country interworkings perhaps were, what kind of foundation those were built on. And we've seen a lot of change in financial structures throughout that time, throughout this transit of Pluto in Capricorn. But as Pluto begins to enter Aquarius for the next 20 years, it's really about liberation. And so we are releasing ourselves from the confines and we are moving into liberation. However, it has to be authentic. And that's really the vibe of Aquarius, is liberation, uniqueness, and authenticity. So if things are not authentic, they will not thrive moving forward past November 19th. So with all of the internal planets making conjunctions, their annual conjunctions to Pluto, back at the end of January, beginning of February, we were called to action with Mercury being our planet of communication, comprehension, and internal dialogue when it made its conjunction to Pluto, to speak the truth, you know, regardless. And even if your truth is only your truth at this present moment, at least you can hear it, so you can modify it, you can learn from it, but we need to speak it. And then with the sun making its conjunction to Pluto, of course, the sun being our source filter, and our ego is kind of connected to that too, but it's kind of how we present ourselves to the outside world, or how the outside world sort of perceives us. And with the sun being there, it's kind of a call to action to be your most authentic self as possible at this moment in time, because as you know, we're ever evolving beings. And then with Venus making the conjunction to Pluto, of course, you know, she is all about money, prosperity, love, what we love, but also self-worth. And so all that which you meet in your life is a match to your own beacon of your current state of self-worth. And so she recalibrated that as well. And then Mars, who has a two-year or semi-annual cycle with all planets because it takes 2 years to move through the zodiac in a complete revolution, made its conjunction to Pluto for the first time in 2 years. And Mars is the lower vibration of Pluto. So Mars is our action. It's also our energy, and it's the intention of energy. So it is our subconscious. It's more our subconscious intention of energy, our baseline frequency, if you will, that through, you know, self-work and self-understanding and self-awareness, we can calibrate into the most truest sense. So when Mars made its conjunction to Pluto, this was a recalibration of what we are trying to control. It was a reclamation maybe of personal power from our core self and not from our mind, from our wounded mind. And, you know, when those two meet in the sky, we tend to see or have things come to the surface from the subconscious that we are often trying to control and don't even realize, or perhaps old stories that need to be cleared through feeling in order to change your internal frequency. Once those conjunctions occurred, the planets then proceeded to move into alignment, which is really interesting because all of the personal planets, which are the Sun and Mercury, Venus and Mars, are all in. They're all together. They're all like one big train. And so those are the planets that express in the 3D reality as a result of your core frequency. And so those planets we create with, and then the outer planets, whenever they make aspects to those planets, they try to bring them back to true as best as possible. With each conjunction that they have yearly with all the planets, except for Mars, which is every 2 years, semi-annual, it's like peeling back a layer of the onion. You can't do it really all at once. It probably would be a catastrophic thing. But in order to bring your awareness back to source, core belief, how you were brought to this plane of existence, then we have to have recalibrations every year. So we can either resist that and spend another year in resistance, or we can lean into it, into surrender and really creating in the present rather than having control of the future. The universe can't come in and create or help you create if you have, you know, plan A, B, C, D, E, F, and G already lined out and it's, you know, seal tight. There's no way for divine intervention to come in unless it were to course correct you, right? So as we move through February, we had the final last quarter squares of the internal planets to Uranus. And Uranus is a higher frequency planet. It is the higher octave of our planet Mercury. So if Mercury is our communication with each other in the 3D, it would be represented, I guess, visually by slow length sound waves. And Uranus is like electricity. And it is divine downloads, flashes of brilliance, and it's also an ego course corrector. It does not allow to build, it doesn't allow you to build anything long-term that is not truth. So ultimate truth obviously is at our core. And until that's realized, we always have ego course correction. So whenever we have a square to Uranus, it's always, squares in astrology are planets that are 90 degrees away from each other. And squares are a crisis. So basically we are looking at how are we going to move forward? Are we going to move forward in a way where we are controlling everything through wounded ego, or are we going to move forward in a way where we can surrender, I guess, is the best way to kind of approach that. So the first square, the first last quarter square to Uranus was the sun. And whenever the sun makes a square to Uranus, we obviously are decalibrating. What you can understand with the sun, Mercury, Venus, and Mars being in a square with Uranus is that whatever is not true will be exposed. And it needs to happen. So, you know, whether or not you are stuck into a situation that, you know, you have invested in under false pretenses or motives, you would then become aware of that through circumstance. It's usually sudden or things are completely removed. Whether it's opportunity, something that is not for you or should not be for you, is you are diverted away from that. If you are approaching this from an ego-based place where you're trying to control the outcome or you're robbing Peter to pay Paul, then this is where people kind of understand your motives and intentions in a very stark way, and it usually comes out of nowhere. So these final squares between the sun and Uranus, the first square between the sun and Uranus was on February 8th, right at the new moon in Aquarius, as a matter of fact. And this last quarter square is trying to get us ready for the conjunction of the sun and Uranus on May 13th. And this, if you use this energy properly, if things have left your trajectory, the only way that you should interject at all is if you have not spoken your truth. So what I mean by that is that, you know, if you've been hurt before in the past and you haven't said how you felt and you're watching the love of your life walk away because you haven't expressed your fullest feelings to this person, then that's when you would start speaking the truth. Other than that, things that are destabilizing or crumbling around you, you know, if you have been in your most honest, transparent self, the universe is trying to show you, or you know, however you want to look at it, the 3D is trying to show you that, you know, you are applying too much energy on something that you have either outgrown or is not for you. So when the sun makes its conjunction in May, on May 13th, this is going to be a liberation of self to be able to build and create through your most authentic form. And that all also follows suit through Mercury. When Mercury makes its conjunction to Uranus on May 31st, it'll be later because Mercury is going retrograde on April 1st. And then, of course, Venus will be making its conjunction to Uranus on May 18th, and Mars will not be making its conjunction until July. So all of these squares were basically trying to get us to recalibrate our trajectory prior to getting to eclipse season. So this year's eclipse season that begins on Monday, March 25th, with a lunar eclipse in Libra at 5 degrees, this will be exact at 3 a.m. Eastern time. When we have that lunar eclipse, this is going to be a culmination of the last 6 months. The solar eclipse that occurred back on October 16th, give or take a week on either side, is what is directly connected to this. So, you know, with all of the things that happened last year, please see the Goddess Emerges from the Cave episode to get caught up with all the things that happened last year with Venus, and then to have those Venus eclipses in the fall. This kind of looked like one last college try on, you know, kind of wiping your conscience. You know, whenever we decide to walk away from something or to decide to stop working on something and change directions or pivot, oftentimes, at least for myself, I need to make sure that I, you know, dotted my I's and crossed my T's and that I really did the work, and it didn't work out because it's not supposed to, not because I didn't apply myself. So if we go back to the eclipses in the fall, that first eclipse had to do with a newly rectified Venus, which means, you know, coming in with understanding your worth and value, what I deserve, what do I give myself? When we look at the sign of Libra, it's ruled by Venus, but it's also the sign of we. So basically, it's an air sign, and it's an air sign that's all about harmony. However, it does, it will often resign its internal harmony to create harmony outside of itself, which is not truth, because it does not want to be judged. It really has an aversion to not be liked, you know, so it will often resign itself to what the exterior wants in order to create harmony, and completely, completely leave itself in that process. And when we get into eclipses, you know, we have this powerful jolt. It's a new moon or a full moon on complete and total steroids, right? So if we're talking about Libra energy and we're moving into this powerful eclipse, this lunar eclipse, this really has to do about either endings, moving from one stage to another, or a culmination to receive award. So as we're moving into this eclipse, we are really trying to access what is harmonious within us, within our core, and not necessarily our wounded mind, which involves creating a relationship with yourself. So if you go back to October 16th, you know, if you were still creating disharmony within yourself in order to create harmony in the world around you, because you, for whatever reason, you know, Libra is an interesting sign. It does not like to be judged. So chances are, you know, there could have been a variety of reasons why you attempted to do something. However, as we approach this lunar eclipse, you know, if you did decide to work on your worth and value and become your own partner, rather than requiring that from someone else, you are going to be seeing the world a lot differently. If you lost yourself again, trying to meet someone else's needs, chances are you are finally at the tipping point where you realize that you've given something your last college try, and likely it's just not, you know, a part of the process. Whenever we see the sign of Libra too, we have to look at karmic partnerships, especially when we look at the eclipse series. So I will do a whole episode on what that looks like in birth charts and what that actually means. But essentially, you know, when you've learned your lesson in, you know, when you've finally chosen yourself and you remove yourself from a relationship, then that's when the cycle is broken. So a lot of us will see that. And no matter where 5 degrees Libra lands in your chart, you know, no matter what house that this lights up in axis for you, this is going to show you that you have, you know, reclaimed yourself. And you can create from that baseline. For those who still need a more, you know, still need more time to sort of understand and reclaim the self, we will be experiencing another solar eclipse in the fall on October 2nd in Libra. So we are not quite done with this. However, what I love about this lunar eclipse that's showing up, this ending of one state to another, is leading us to creation in the fall. And that really should be noted. So, you know, but it's only creation in the truest version of yourself. You cannot onboard anyone else. And if you try to, you will offboard yourself. And that's really essentially what we're looking at with Libra, you know, creating disharmony within self to create harmony outside of self, being emotionally unavailable to yourself to keep the peace outside of yourself. That is not healthy. It's also disingenuous. You know, it's all kinds of things. And so when we look to wonder, you know, why can't we create anything where we feel peace or we feel satisfaction? It's because we're not meeting ourselves. After that eclipse, obviously, we're going to be going into a powerful solar eclipse in Aries, and Aries is about me. So these are the me and the mask that I wear and my roles that I play in the world around me, and wanting to, these eclipses are peeling off those masks so we can stand in our most authentic authority, which is ever evolving. It's a beautiful thing. But we have to allow ourselves the vulnerability and willingness to surrender, you know, what we know for what is to come. A lot of people aren't willing to do that. Now, prior to this eclipse that's coming on Monday, we are going to begin the Neptune cycles. And Neptune is our source planet. What I love about contacts or conjunctions with Neptune, especially the conjunctions, because we're starting new cycles with Neptune. Mercury started its cycle last Friday on March 8th with its conjunction to Neptune, and today is ground zero for the Sun making its conjunction to Neptune. Venus will make her conjunction to Neptune in Pisces on April 3rd, and then Mars will make its conjunction to Neptune on April 29th, just after Mercury goes direct. So what does this mean? So whenever we have an entanglement with Neptune, it kind of shows us where we are either tapped in and have created space for our higher self to prompt us, to show us, or it can show us where we are self-medicating or in illusion or disillusionment to avoid a situation that we refuse to rectify. So if you find yourself having to, say you're working a job and you have to come home and have a few beers every night to unwind, the prompting is why are you showing up to do something where you have to intoxicate yourself after to recover mentally from it? If you really look at what you're showing up for energetically, you'll start to see what you're trying to escape in the first place. Neptune's interjection is really about source and bringing source here to the planet in your body, grounded in your body, in order to create. If you feel the need that you need to disconnect from your body because of circumstances in your life, then that means that you need to rectify situations that you have created with broken, wounded ego. Ego's good, right? But our wounding, without getting into in our dissertation about that, our wounding is all subconscious, and we create the pattern over and over again until we heal that pattern, until it becomes a part of our awareness. It's quite interesting. So with Neptune being in conjunction last week, right before the new moon in Pisces, this was really, a lot of prompting around what we really want to do with our lives versus what our brain sees as possible or not possible. So it's kind of an eradication of the cages in which we confine ourselves in order to have some sort of process, the if, whens, whys, and whats, in order for things to sort of appear, rather than being in order to create in that way, in order to have full surrender, you know, you start moving in your own present prompting. With the Sun making the conjunction today on St. Patrick's Day, which is quite interesting, any kind of planetary aspects to Neptune make us incredibly sensitive because our vibration is quite high. So a little of something goes a long way. So we want to be careful. So we want to be careful with Neptune, with water, with gas and anesthetic, because we can easily overdo something and leave the body rather quickly. We need to be in the body in order to be alive. So it's super important that, you are aware of your environment. And if you want to utilize this energy today, you could perhaps, if you'd like, you could decide to do some meditation. You could listen to different frequencies. For me, I created a vision board that I am, getting ready for the vernal equinox. I believe it's exact at 11:08 p.m. on Tuesday, the 19th. But this is where your higher self has the ability to step in. Rather than your higher self being a concept where there is a separation, the higher self can actually step in and embody you, which is ultimately what it's supposed to look like, those little Russian nesting dolls. We're not separate. We're all in one container if we allow that to happen. And I see I have a caller, so I'm going to go ahead and check in on that. Hi, caller. Welcome to Star Medicine Podcast.
Hi. Unfortunately, I'm outside, so I'm just listening. It's kind of loud out here, if you don't mind. Can you hear me?
I can.
Yeah, because I'm outside in the street, so I don't want to be, you know, talking to you. There's a lot of noise. So
sure. So do you have a question for us?
What kind of question? I don't know if you can hear me because I'm on the street in New York City right now. So.
No, I can hear. I can hear you.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. You know, how can I ask my question? I mean, because I'm just kind of learning this whole thing. You know, that's why I was just trying to listen some more. What kind of question can I ask?
What kind of question can you ask? Well, it's an astrology. It's an astrology show.
I mean,
you can ask whatever question you. I mean, go ahead and ask me any question. I'm pretty well versed in a lot of different things, to be honest with you.
Just what's coming up for me, you know?
What's coming up for you? Well, I can't see your birth chart. So I wouldn't be able to give you an accurate account of what kind of energy is coming in for you. But, you know, if you would like to see me one-on-one, book an appointment, my website is thankgoddess.org. And I would be happy to look at your birth chart and let you know what kind of energy is coming in for you.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. Hey, be safe. Have a happy St. Patty's Day. I can hear the ruckus, so I hope you have a good time.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Hello.
Hi, folks. Well, you know, if you ever want to call in with an astrological question, please make sure that you have your chart information. I'll be happy to look when I have time, or if you just have a simple question about transits, what's going on in your chart, if you could give me your rising sign, oftentimes that's helpful as well. And also, for those of you at home who have been missing the program, just so you know, I spend my days writing for my Moon Lodge group on Patreon, and that's located on patreon.com/ Moon Lodge. I write daily informing about how to use the energies that are presented to us currently. Along with that, I am going to be relaunching my beginner's astrology course. It's a 4-class course. I believe it's going to run through May. I'm trying to figure out the dates so that way it doesn't interfere with Mother's Day, which is in May. And then also I will be posting a Manifesting with Your Birth Chart class. So those are things that are currently coming up. So back at the matters at hand, as we're moving into eclipse season, these ego course correcting planets and aspects between Uranus and the Sun are getting you ready to creating your most authentic form. Hopefully at this point, as we're rounding the corner into the spring equinox, we are starting to realize, you know, what we want to create and how we want to create moving forward. Now, you know, everything that is around you at this current time, you know, we have created subconsciously in order to create an awareness of our deeper self. So if we really look at, you know, everything that, at least for myself, this is the way that I approach things, you know, until I became self-aware, you know, I have to have gratitude for every version of myself that has gotten me here to this point in time. So we're always ever evolving. And the more that you can tap into your own internalness and understand, you know, why you have impulses to escape rather than unwinding what is there, you know, maybe why you have impulses to not leave what is bothering you. It's all a subtlety of whether or not you trust yourself, whether or not you trust letting go and having some sort of surrender. What I love about this upcoming astrology, and I will be on next week to talk more in depth about the solar eclipse that's coming on April 8th, which, by the way, the solar eclipse that's happening on April 8th is going to be a historical eclipse. Obviously, I'm sure everyone has been seeing this in the news, on the internet, all that good stuff. But in the state of Maine here, we are not going to experience a solar eclipse until, I think, 2079. And I think the next one visible in the United States is not for another 21 years. So this is definitely one that you're going to want to be a part of. But what I love about the way that these are working in succession is that we have this lunar eclipse that is letting go of all the things that you have to create disharmony within yourself in order to maintain on the exterior. And then we immediately step into the rebirth of the most authentic version of yourself with absolute faith that you are the most purest form to date, right? And I think a lot of people, you know, it's not betting the farm. It is, you know, putting everything on number seven. It's putting everything on you. When we find our own internal worth and value, and we stop showing up for things that aren't meeting us there, or we stop trying to get people to see us, that's when our life really starts to unfold into purpose. And as you know, purpose is only attained when we are at the frequency, our truest frequency in which we create, and that is our purpose. So that is also ever-evolving. Mercury begins retrograde this year, which will also stop all planets direct. Currently, all planets are direct and have been direct since January 25th of this year. Mercury will begin its retrograde on April 1st. We begin shadow period for Mercury retrograde on Monday as it approaches 15 degrees Aries. So we are really slowing down. If you have things that you need to book as for travel, it's okay to travel during Mercury retrograde. Please understand that life happens during Mercury retrograde. In fact, we have Mercury in retrograde at least three times a year, sometimes four, depending on how it lands within the calendar year. This particular retrograde will be in Aries, and this is going to have a duration of 24 days. So it'll begin on April Fool's Day, April 1st, and Mercury will then go direct on the 25th. So we have now until eclipse time to really button down things, get correspondence out, do your travel plans ahead of time. And if you are traveling during the time that Mercury is retrograde between the 1st of April and the 25th of April, you know, give yourself plenty of time. Don't cut corners for sure. If you, you know, got your taxes back and you are buying appliances or you are looking to make large purchases, I would wait to have an install done until after May 13th, at the very earliest May 5th. I definitely wouldn't buy any appliances, any electronics, any of those things while Mercury is retrograde this spring, especially during eclipse season, because this is really going to be a catalyst to find your personal value and create with that as a part of your identity. This isn't about right fighting. This isn't about making people see you. This is about standing in your own autonomy and your own authority, which at the core center is love. It's vulnerability, love, and surrender. I see I have another caller. Hi there. Welcome to Star Medicine Podcast.
Hi. I was just listening. First time I have listened to the show.
Great. Who am I talking to?
This is Anne.
Hi, Anne. Did you have a question or?
Well, what? That's what I said. I've never listened to the show before. I've been on 2 minutes, so what?
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
It looked like you had called in and you were waiting. Do you have any?
No, I didn't get one.
Do you have any astrological questions you'd like to ask, or?
Sure. I was born on the super cusp between Virgo and Libra, and it's really at like the last 10 minutes of Libra, so anything about being on the cusp?
Sure. Let me just pull up I'm actually going to do your birth chart.
Oh, great.
What's your name?
Anne.
Okay.
With an E.
And your birthday?
9/22/69.
And what time were you born?
It's 4:15 p.m.
Okay. And where were you born?
Portland, Oregon.
Okay. All right. You actually have a stellium in your eighth house. Are you aware of that?
What am?
A stellium. So that's when you have three or more planets or bodies located in either a sign or a house. And in astrology, there are 12 astrological houses to a birth chart. You actually have Pluto, the Sun, Uranus, Mercury retrograde, and Jupiter all located within the eighth house sector, which means that in this lifetime, you have chosen when you entered this plane of existence to really deal with surrender and surrendering to the unknown.
Oh,
so
sure.
This means
I've
like surrendering of control of outcomes. This looks like surrendering of control of anything beyond, you know, what is for you, which I think might have been something that was difficult early on, but now, you know, at least by hearing the sound of your voice, it sounds like you've let go of a lot. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And also what's interesting here, too, is that you have natal Pluto located in Virgo and your Sun being at 29 degrees Virgo. So technically you are a Virgo. They are in conjunction of each other. So this is definitely a death and rebirth over and over again of your identity.
Oh.
Throughout this lifetime.
Wow. Yeah. I've had many different careers. And
I bet.
Yeah.
I bet.
Every 5 or 7 years, I tend to change things up.
Well, it looks like with these eclipses, you know, I'm not sure how you had the energy come in last spring when the eclipses in Aries and Scorpio occurred last spring, but it looks like, did you start a new course of study? Did you decide to go back to school or take a class or something like that?
Not yet.
Not yet, but have you been thinking about it?
Yeah, but nothing formal. This class is not like...
Yeah, no, well, the third house is what's being lit up, and so the third house really is not a formal class. It's more like, you know, maybe a community class or, you know, strengthening your skills, your skill set, that type of thing. As far as the lunar eclipse in the lunar eclipse in Libra, this is going to be in a conjunction to your eighth house. So have you done your taxes yet?
No.
Okay. I would recommend for you to get those done before the end of this week.
Oh, wow.
Well, if you wait until April 15th, Mercury is going to be retrograde. Not only that, but this lunar eclipse is going to be in a conjunction to your natal Uranus. So this could be a large windfall, or this could be you owing and not realizing you owe. But it's better to have, especially if you're submitting your taxes electronically, it's better to do that prior to Mercury going retrograde at the end of the month.
Okay.
Yeah. But it looks looks like you're going to have the Sun is going to be in opposition of every natal planet in the eighth house. So this might look like getting your affairs in order with debt. I don't know if you have been looking at paying off debt or acquiring financial backing, whether it's a mortgage or whether it's a loan. But this looks like it looks like this might be the time to really look at your finances. Is that, are you getting ready to, how old are you?
55.
So you must be looking at, getting yourself ready for retirement over the next 10 years, right?
Yeah.
Has that been very much part of your awareness?
Yeah, more about like, where am I going to live then? And things like that.
Yeah.
But financially, yeah. I'm not worried about it. But yeah,
no,
more about
no,
what I'm
no,
doing.
It looks like right now, like your only trajectory is to make sure that, you know, any kind of outstanding debt that you have prior to that over the next 10 years is really where you want to have all your energy go to. So that way you're really moving into this new era, you know, before your second Saturn return, moving into this era with a sense of freedom and mobility.
Right.
Pluto in Aquarius is not going to change much for you other than energetically it's going to want you to liberate who you are. You've had Pluto in your first house for, I don't know, probably the last 8 years. And with its change over into, because your rising sign is 22 degrees Capricorn.
Yes.
So you've had Pluto in your first house for the last 8 years. So this is really defining who you are, at your most natural core. What this really looks like is that, you know, you're not in the role of people pleaser anymore.
Oh, I was, for sure.
I know you were. You have a lot of energy in Libra. And so with this Libra eclipse here, I think you'll find when you go back and listen to the program after it's over, one of the things that I was discussing was that this lunar eclipse in Libra is sort of the ending of, you know, creating disharmony within yourself in order to achieve harmony outside of yourself. It's kind of a pivot in saying, you know, I am going to create from harmony inside of myself. And certain things or people don't remain from that space, then they aren't for me. So there's no more contorting who we are in order to keep friend groups or validation or any of that stuff, because that's really not your authentic frequency. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. And I think this last time I moved 2 years ago, and things have really changed since then, of in alignment with all that of, you know.
Oh, I bet. I mean, it's kind of like whenever you have Pluto moving through the first house, whenever you try to take on an old role or an old, identity, it really kicks, pardon my French, but it really kicks you in the ass, you know? So you really have to be the most authentic version of yourself, which is, you know, with you having your natal moon in Aquarius, this is really probably expressing your emotional side rather than compartmentalizing your feelings up into your mind.
Yeah, that's for sure. I come from a whole family of Virgo, so I was trained to do that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, by looking at your chart, a lot of the stuff that you've been unpacking throughout your life is the fact that your feelings are valid, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Well, listen, it was wonderful looking at your chart, and I hope you have a wonderful eclipse season, and I hope to see you in the Moon Lodge or on Instagram, and I hope to hear your voice again soon.
Can I ask a quick question about rising signs?
Yeah, sure.
So Capricorn is one of the personalities that annoy me. Like, I have trouble, like, some of the Capricorns in my life are the ones that I get irritated with the most, and so, and it's my rising sign. So I just can't put those two together. It's like you get annoyed.
Well, I think you'll find.
I think
you'll find that the reason why Capricorn. Let me give you a personal example. Okay. So my birth chart. I have my midhaven in Pisces. I have never really had a soft spot for Pisces. As a matter of fact, I can see through a lot of people. My moon sign is in Scorpio.
Oh, yeah.
And oftentimes what happens is that the reason why people who have angles or natal planets and you having an angle, which is an ascendant, in a certain sign and you find that other people are agitating that, it's because they are mirroring to you a reflection of how you feel about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So just because you have Capricorn rising doesn't mean that all Capricorns have to be your friend, right? Or that you have to jive with all Capricorns. What I will say is that if you look at your birth chart, your ascendant is at 22 degrees Capricorn. Your 12th house begins at 1 degree Capricorn. So anyone who has their sun or a birthday from December 21st until, I'd say, January, I don't know, probably like 15th,
mm-hmm.
is probably, their sun is going to land in your 12th house. So that means that there's an uncomfortableness when, I don't know if you're familiar with overlays or synastry, but, you know, basically it's taking two charts and putting them on top of each other. You have natal Mars and Capricorn at 1 degree in your 12th house. So this is, you know, these are people that when someone's natal planets land in your 12th house, unless it's Venus is different. But when it's Mercury or the Sun or Mars, whenever someone else's planets land in your 12th house, they agitate you. They agitate you on an unconscious level, almost as if like you can't even be around them. You have to force yourself.
Yeah, that explains that. Yeah, for sure.
And I think you'll find that people who are Capricorns from, I don't know, probably January 15th until the end of the sign, which is January 21st, you're fine with. Because their sun falls in your first house. The 12th house is very difficult to have other people's synastry fall in because they can turn into enemies. It's almost as if they, you know, there's a psychological component to that. In fact, you know, if you are doing self-study with your own chart, look at the 12th house and look at synastry of the 12th house, and that'll kind of unpack a lot of what I'm talking about for you.
Yeah, great. Thank you very much. I've always wondered about that. So.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome,
man.
I hope you have a great weekend. Have a wonderful eclipse season.
Great. You too.
Thank you.
I'll keep listening.
All right, then. So as we round off the end of this program, I just want everyone to understand that we have the ability over the next week as we move into the astrological new year to really embody our higher self rather than, you know, questioning or having the higher self side by side. Please allow yourself to let go of fear of the unknown and really surrender into the present where everything is being created. When we move into this eclipse season, if you can find undying, unconditional love for yourself, which means that you do not show up for conditions and you do not have unconditional love for yourself if you show up to others who have conditions for you. So keep that in mind. Conditions are different than compromise. Conditions are you need to be this person in my life or else we can't, you know, do whatever. We can't create together. That's conditional. That's not unconditional. Or there's so much to unfold to that. But as we move into the astrological new year. This is a wonderful time, especially today with the sun in conjunction to Neptune, to really use your creative side, brainstorm. What would you like to see manifest for yourself over the next year? Where would you like to see yourself? And forget about the hows, whens, whys, or buts. But do notice if you're running away from a circumstance that's stressing you out, because if that's the case, that might be something that you need to rectify as we move into eclipse season. It was so wonderful spending time with you all. Until next time, we'll see you on the other side of the moon.